Good morning. It's good to see all of you out. We're grateful for your presence. We are going to today be continuing our study that we began at the very beginning of the year that Mark and I have decided and put together, and we hope that you would be encouraged through this series of lessons. A couple of changes that have taken place over the year, as my family and I will be transitioning over to Washington Street in Bellsville, that took me away November and December, and so Mark had two lessons left, one I think maybe next month, and then or maybe this month, I can't remember, and then again in November. And so because he had two left, I figured November and December would probably be the best time for him to present his two lessons. And then that means October 30th, my last day here, will actually be my last lesson in this particular series. And so there'll be a couple of changes that will take place, but hopefully everything will still make sense and you still get some benefit out of it. We basically, as we began this series of lessons, really it comes out of the idea that Mark presented there last year about inviting people to come, to worship with us. We may not always get them to sit down and have a Bible study, but maybe we can get them to come and to sit with us in worship. And so we've gone through all of these lessons together. Some of them I've done, some of them Mark has done, but all of them have been directed in the sense that we want to invite people to come, and figuring out what that means to us and to them as we do that. Today we're going to examine the topic of come and be safe. And I'm going to pull out John chapter 6 and verse 37. If you were following along with the reading this morning, and appreciate Pete doing that. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. And so our three points are going to come from that verse today. So many in the world feel unsafe. When somebody doesn't have the concept of God, when someone doesn't realize who God is, and as Mark, I appreciate you, Mark, teaching the Sunday morning class, going through the Psalms, I would encourage you as we do that, especially to pay attention to some of the things that he'll be talking about when we get into chapter 19 here a little bit. And the idea of how great God is and how God has left for us so many evidences that we can look at and understand and know that God exists. But there are many in the world that don't see those things the same way that we do. As I told Mark after the class, that it kind of amazes me that the more and more evidence God provides to us, the less and less some people believe when the evidence comes. It's, oh, look, we found this particular star or this particular galaxy so many, millions or whatever miles away. To me, that says, you know what, that's just another a mark to say God exists, and he exists way out there too. And so many people will look at it and say, see, God doesn't exist. And it's just amazing to me how we can see those things both ways. But to those who do not believe in God, they're going to feel unsafe. Because I believe that God put within us something to long for him. Something to long for something that is bigger and greater and grander than us. And if they're not going to believe that it is God, then there is a hole in them. They are not fulfilled. They are not complete. And so they're going to be looking for something. And certainly in that, there is the sense of being unsafe, because they long for a place of safety. Our safety is in the Lord. It doesn't matter what our circumstances is. Our safety is in the Lord. And so we know that everything is going to be okay. Jesus here offers this tender plea to anyone, anyone. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Who will listen? So the question for us is, are we listening? And will we answer that call to come and to be safe? But what I want us to understand before we get into the points of the lesson this morning is that often that place of safety is behind some very difficult things. For anyone who has served in the military, you may train for things like this, or maybe you were actually part of missions that would entail something like this. But they will say, you know, okay, there's a place of safety over here behind this wall, but look what we've got to go through to get there. There's people going to be shooting at us. We're going to be out in the open. And so I'll cover you while you run as fast and as hard as you can to get to that place of safety. And Christianity is no different. Somebody who comes to a place of safety in Christ may have to go through some very difficult things to get to that place. Think about the children of Israel when they were headed to the promised land, wandering 40 years in the wilderness. The wilderness was not a place of safety, but certainly the promised land was. And even when they got to the promised land, there was going to be years and years of war before they were going to find peace in that place. And so we understand the concept that yes, that place of safety may have some difficulties as we go to it. Think about safety of Noah on the other side of this worldwide flood. But he still had to go through the storm, did he not? He still had to go through the difficulty of building this basically floating box while the world likely mocked him. And while he was a preacher of righteousness, encouraging others to come and to be in that safety, even though they were going to have to go through a difficult time to get there. What I want to look at today is our journey to that place of safety. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, I want to pull out this first phrase, specifically the one who comes to me, but notice what he says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." The focus here is going to be on the phrase, "the one," meaning anyone. We sing a song from time to time, "Whosoever will may come." And all he means by that, all that the songwriter means by that, all that Jesus means by that when he says, "whosoever will," is literally anyone can take this step. Anyone can come to me. We probably all know the verses of Scripture in John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Doesn't talk about a type of person or a particular place where this person must come from. He says, no, if anyone who believes. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost," or "all who are lost." Jesus came to find those who are lost. Everyone, anyone who wanted to come to him. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, "But we do see him who was made for a while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death," notice, "for everyone." Even though we may not all take advantage of it, we understand that the plea to come and be safe is for everyone. Are we taking advantage of it? We cannot forget that this opportunity is for everyone. And so when we think about ourselves as Christians, as hopefully people who have called or answered that call to come and to be safe, are we taking that opportunity to everyone that we know, to everyone that we love? Are we showing them that opportunity that Jesus has given to us and that we were able to accept? Do we provide that opportunity for others? So oftentimes, even in our religion, maybe we become a little selfish. I know that people understand how I work, I guess. People will bake cookies for us or bring us candy or cook us dinner or something, and anyone who hands it to me will say the same thing. Make sure at least some of this gets to your children. Because they probably know me well enough to know, listen, you hand me a plate of cookies, that's your fault. If you intended them to get to my children, you probably should have started out by giving them to my children. I try my best to share those things with my family. But we get the point, right? We have a tendency at times to be selfish with things. Want to keep them to ourselves. And I wonder how often we take the opportunity of the gospel and we don't want to share it with other people. It is meant for everyone. One of the most frightening songs that I sing, that we sing, is the hymn, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me." Isn't that a scary thought? To be on the day of judgment and to maybe have an acquaintance of yours in front of you on the day of judgment. Again, I don't know how it's all going to work, but I imagine it. I envision it as this great line that we're in and we're all waiting on our turn to be addressed by God. And imagine the person or the people who are in front of you or around you that go up to God and are condemned to an eternity in hell as they walk back past that line and they see you. And as the song suggests, they say to you, "You never mentioned him to me. Why did you never mention him to me?" What a scary, what a frightening thought that would be, to have someone on the day of judgment say, "You never mentioned him to me." In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul tells Timothy, "Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourselves and for those who hear you." Are other people hearing us speak about this great opportunity? Are we inviting them to come and to find the safety that we have found in Jesus? If you're here and you're not a child of God, what I want you to understand this morning is that this invitation is for you. God is inviting you, and so many people will say, "Not me, it can't be me. I've not been good enough in my life. I have not been the person that I should be. There's no way that God would be inviting me to this opportunity." Of course He is. As bad as you feel that you may have been, there have been people worse, including Paul, who calls himself the chief of sinners. And if he's at the top of the list, then you're not. And God gave him that opportunity. Well, within this great opportunity, we also see that there's a simple condition that he gives us. And again, in John chapter 6 and verse 37, "All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." The focus is going to be in this point on the phrase "comes to me," and he uses it twice in this verse. So what does that mean, "come to me"? There are two times that he uses this phrase in the verse, but what I want us to understand and realize that he actually uses two different words here for the word "come." And so oftentimes as we go from one language to the other, we lose something. And so I want to regain that idea and look at these two words that Jesus uses when he says that someone will come to me. Now, the first one that he uses, as you're reading verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." This first word is the Greek word "hekō," which means to be present with. So again, let's look at that one more time. "All that the Father gives me will be present with me." Gives it a little bit more of a punch, does it not? That all who God gives me will be present with me. They will be here. They will not be wandering around. They will not wander off. They're going to be present with me. The second word that he uses is a little more hard to pronounce, and I can't do the Jewish phlegmy, ekomai. I don't do that well. I don't speak the language. But it is the Greek ekomai, which means to arrive. Now let's read this one more time. All that the Father gives me will be present with me, and the one who arrives to me, I will certainly not cast out. You know, that's not how the world usually presents coming to Christ, is it? So when we look at this again, basically he's saying God will give a place to and will not cast out those who arrive at Jesus. Not only must we arrive, but we need to remain present to receive the promise. You ever been part of maybe a drawing of some sort and the tagline at the end said the winner does not need to be present to accept the award? God, in fact, says the exact opposite of this. You need to be present. You can't come to Christ and put your name in the drawing and then leave and think that you're going to get the reward when the time comes. No, God very expressly tells us that we need to be present. We need to not only arrive at Jesus, but stay in Jesus to receive the promise. In John 14 and verse 15, very, very simple verse, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." But that's not how the world portrays this, is it? Basically, they say, do whatever you want to do and Jesus will still love you. That's true. But he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will be present with me. You will arrive at me. It is a very simple condition, but it can be very difficult with the trials that are going on around us as we're trying to make it to Jesus, as we're trying to arrive to Jesus and remain present with Jesus. The conditions are very simple. Be here, right? Arrive at Jesus. Remain with Jesus. Very simple, but can certainly be very difficult to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul basically discusses the time that he arrived at Christ and how difficult it is to kind of remain firmly planted in Christ throughout his own life. 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, "Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and the day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, in dangers from robbers, dangers from my own countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me for concern for all the churches." Take a deep breath, right? How long did we hang in there? What if I was speaking this of myself? I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without, you know what? This is getting pretty difficult. I'm out. That's probably about as far as some of us would make it, right? I'm not going through any more of this. But then look at the list that Paul continues with. And think about the trials that he went through just to not only arrive at Jesus, but then to remain with Jesus as well. God never says it's going to be pleasant. It's always going to be pleasant. There's never going to be anything that you'll have to deal with. No, in fact, he says quite the opposite. Probably because of me, you're going to go through trials. But remain with me. And then there's the comforting promise. In John chapter 6, again, verse 37. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." Again, there is a big difference between what the world thinks and what is meant here. Notice the phrasing of this again. What does he say? All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. He will not cast us out. Does that mean that we can't leave? No, of course we can leave. And what happens is many times people leave and they blame God for being cast out. And God says, I'll never do that. I'll never cast you out. I will let you walk away. There are going to be times when I let you go because you're trying to walk away. He says, I won't cast you out. You in that situation cast yourself out. But the world, again, doesn't see it that way oftentimes. In Romans chapter 8, he confirms all of this in Paul's writing to the Romans. Starting in verse 35, he basically asks them a series of rhetorical questions. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul just basically confirms everything that we've talked about from John chapter 6 and verse 37. I will not cast you out. If you want to remain present with me, if you want to remain here, then you can remain here. But the minute you become disobedient to my word, you have left. I did not cast you out. So what's the answer to the question, who can separate us from the love of Christ? You know, as we looked in 2 Corinthians, as Paul's writing to the Corinthians, as he's going through all of the difficult things that he went through, it sounds like a lot of these things that he asks the question here, well, who will separate us? Will tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword? Those are all the things that he just listed, right? That he went through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And so the answer to the question is nothing or no one. Here's the answer. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. What's the answer to the question? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? There is an answer to that question, is there not? And it's none of those physical things. It's none of those created things. The answer to the question is only me. You can't separate me from the love of Christ. Christ will never leave me. Christ will never cast me out. But I can. I can cast myself out. I can separate myself from the love of God. I can separate myself from the will of God, the Word of God. No one else can. But yet, who do we often blame when we feel ourselves being separated from God? We want to blame God, don't we? We want to blame someone else. Well, I was just following that person. Or I don't feel as close to God as I once did, and so something has changed. God must have changed. And that is never the case. Someone once asked the question, if you don't feel as close to God as you used to, who moved? Did God move? Or did you move? And I think we all know the answer to that question. When we invite others to Christ, it is certainly a safe invitation. But understand that that safe invitation is going to come with trials. There may be difficulties in getting there. There may be difficulties in staying there. But understand this, when it is accepted, it cannot be taken away. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Notice this. "To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and that will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." He says, it is reserved for you. No one else can take it. No one else can come, can swoop in and take your spot. He said, it is reserved for you. Only you can say yes or no. And so if you are not there, it's not that your spot is filled by someone else. It's that there is a hole. There is a gap. You are missed. Because that place is reserved for you. You ever see one of those movies where, you know, somebody's on, supposed to be on a date? I wish Tammy was here to support me in my watching of the Christmas movies that, you know, guilty pleasure, I guess. I don't normally watch Lifetime movies, but during Christmas season, for some reason, I'm drawn toward these cheesy films. You see this person, they go to a restaurant of some sort, right? And they sit down and they're waiting for their blind date to come. Well, their blind date never comes, right? And so they start an argument with the waiter or the waitress that's there, and they end up, you know, at the end of the movie, they end up together. But you see this person waiting. It's reserved for someone. And you see other people looking around and they're looking at this person and they're feeling so sorry for them because the person that they're waiting on, this table that is reserved, is not going to be filled. And it's an awkward situation. Understand that God has reserved something in heaven for you. For you. And no one else can take that spot. And so when you don't take that spot, you're missed. Because it's reserved specifically for you. Remember that. If you don't accept, if you don't come to God, both in arriving at Christ and remaining at Christ, you're missed because the spot is reserved for you and no one else. It cannot be taken away. When we invite others to come, we know that this is an opportunity for everyone. And if we have accepted our opportunity, we should be giving that opportunity to others as well. If you have not accepted that opportunity, there is time to do that today. It is a simple request for obedience. Easy to understand, sometimes difficult to follow through because of the difficulties that there will be because we are choose to be children of God. But understand that it is an offer of eternal safety. Not just a place of safety that we're inviting them to, but a place of safety for eternity that we want to share with them. The question for you this morning is, have you taken advantage of the safety that comes in belonging to the Lord, in arriving at Jesus Christ and remaining there? If you are here and you're not a child of God, you have not yet arrived at Jesus. You can do that by being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins this very morning. Arrive at Jesus today. And our verse in John chapter 6 and verse 37 tells us if we arrive at Jesus and we remain at Jesus, all that God gives me will come to me, will remain with me, be present with me. If you remain there, He says, I will certainly not cast you out. You will have a home in heaven for eternity. If you're here and you are a child of God who has once put on Christ in baptism but maybe left, maybe didn't remain present with Christ, there's time to come back today. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way, won't you please come have a front seat while we stand and while we sing.